This week, Xi Jinping, the ruler of China, made a rare trip to North Korea, where he was enthusiastically received by the ruler of the Hermit Kingdom, Kim Jong-un. For Xi to depart China was, well, a departure from the flow of world leaders to China in 2026. And another aspect of Xi's visit to North Korea that drew attention this week, believe it or not, was the absence of a 13-year-old girl from the North Korean welcoming party. Because since 2022, the daughter of Kim Jong-un has become a surprisingly regular fixture at formal events with her father, leading many to speculate that Kim Jong-un is positioning his daughter to be his successor. For example, The Diplomat magazine this week released a video documentary with the title, "Is This Teenage Girl North Korea's Next Supreme Leader?" And strongly featured in that piece was Anna Fifield, fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and also author of The Great Successor, The Secret Rise and Rule of Kim Jong-un. And I'm very pleased to say that Anna joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Anna.
Thank you, Julian. Great to be here.
Now, I described Kim Jong-un's daughter as being 13 years old, but it's fair to say details are pretty scarce about this young person, including specifically what her age is and even what her name is. So how much is actually known about this uniquely positioned child?
Well, like you point out, Julian, it's almost nothing. So we think that she's about 13 years old and we think that her name is Kim Ju-ae. And this top-level intelligence comes from the most unlikely of people, that being Dennis Rodman, the American basketball player who visited Kim Jong-un in North Korea about 12 years ago.
Not an often cited source in international affairs.
And that is how bad human intelligence about North Korea is. That we are relying on this very flamboyant American basketballer who, went and apparently held a baby in Wonsan, this kind of coastal city in North Korea, and was told at the time that her name was Ju-ae. So that's how we have arrived at this name. You know, this is kind of not unusual in a way, in that the South Korean intelligence service didn't know how to spell Kim Jong-un's name until the North Koreans announced it and told us. So, I mean, we really have very, very little insight into what is happening inside North Korea. But when it comes to the daughter, we have seen a lot of her. As you say, she's been attending all sorts of missile launches and military banquets. And these are not the usual kind of daddy-daughter dates a teenager would usually go on. But there she is. Pride of place, very prominent, which is what has fueled the speculation that she is the heir apparent in North Korea. But when she is referred to in the North Korean state media, they never use her name. They just call her the beloved daughter or some other title like that. But many analysts, myself included, have come to conclude that that Kim Jong-un is trying to position her and to circulate the idea within the ranks that she is going to be the next Kim family leader of North Korea.
Anna, how does the presence of Ju-ae in these events compare with the public appearances that Kim Jong-un made while his father, Kim Jong-il, was supreme leader?
Very, very different. And I think that's why Kim Jong-un is doing this. It's kind of preposterous to be marching a 13-year-old girl around, in leather bomber military-style jackets around missile sites and driving tanks. But when Kim Jong-un took over from his father, the transition period was very, very hurried. So just to back up a little bit, North Korea, the regime there is founded on this myth that they descended from this holy mountain called Mount Paektu up on the China border, and that only this family with their Paektu blood is qualified or able to lead North Korea. So that's
certainly an interesting twist on your average Marxist-Leninist state.
It sure is. It's the only communist dynasty, or was until Fidel Castro passed over to his brother. Not really a dynasty, but North Korea is founded on this myth that only this family can lead the country. So we've seen grandfather to father to son, and now potentially the fourth generation that have this mythical Paektu blood in their veins. So I think that is what he's trying to do. But when Kim Jong-il got sick in 2008, he had done none of the preparation to introduce his own son to North Korea and to the elite who had to swallow the idea of this 20-something taking over the regime. So that transition period was extremely hurried. Kim Jong-il, the second Kim, spent 2 years dramatically, rapidly promoting his son up through the military ranks, the political ranks, and trying to make the case that he was the legitimate heir to this dynasty. It sounds like it was very tenuous and touch and go there, and that the old guard, you know, this is a regime full of octogenarian generals, had a bit of trouble stomaching this idea. So my conclusion is that Kim Jong-un is trying to avoid that same outcome for his daughter by circulating the idea now and perhaps over the next few decades that she is the only one, the one to take over, that she is there in these military settings and that she is learning from her father in the hope that one day she will be able to take over. Because this would be a huge ask. Not only is she young, but she is female, which is a big black mark in this very Confucian patriarchal society.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Anna Fifield, author of The Great Successor, The Secret Rise and Rule of Kim Jong-un, about a potential succession to the next generation of supreme leader in North Korea. Are there other known contenders or possibilities for a succession if it were required sooner rather than later?
Well, we just don't know whether there are other children. There's thought to be an older boy, which is very interesting because why is he not carrying on the patriarchal line? And we don't know the answer to that, whether he's sick or whether there's something, some issue there that he has not been the chosen one. I think, you know, if Kim Jong-un were to be incapacitated or to die sooner rather than later, I mean, and he does not look like a well man. That's the surprising thing, that for somebody who's interested in longevity, that he's not taking better care of himself. But if he were to die in the next few years, I think what the regime would try to do would be to have his sister, Kim Yo-jong, who is very prominent in the regime as kind of the chief operating officer in a way. She is the person who makes sure everything runs smoothly, who's there to work for her brother and promoting her brother. She is as invested in the survival of this system as he is. And she, I think, would play the role of kind of regent, where she would mentor and guide the young Ju-ae if she tried to take over the leadership of North Korea. And that was the system that was posited when Kim Jong-un took over, that his uncle, the money man, would play that regent role to him. He didn't, because Kim Jong-un had him killed. But I think that's the most likely scenario that the family would try to do. But I have to say, this would be an extremely heavy lift for them to have two young women running this decrepit old patriarchal regime is really, really hard to imagine. And I think the risks of a military coup or a junta-style situation in North Korea would increase sharply in that eventuality.
And obviously the role of Kim Yo-jong has come from the familial connection, but at the same time she does seem to have been a pretty effective operator. Do you think that her role might also pave the way or soften the resistance to the idea of a female supreme leader in the future?
There have been an increasing number of women with public profiles and roles in North Korea. We have Kim Yo-jong, she's head of propaganda divisions. She issues a lot of the fiercest statements against the United States and South Korea. She clearly has a role in the system. We also have Kim Jong-un's wife, who is a very glamorous. She's a former singer, very famous in North Korea. She's playing a very prominent role as the kind of first lady. And she's kind of the Kate Middleton of North Korea. And
now, that's a lot to get your head around.
Yeah, she's glamorous. She's modernizing the monarchy of North Korea in a way. But then the foreign minister is also a woman for the first time ever. She's also somebody with very strong regime connections. So there has been an increase in the number of women in top roles in the regime. But I think for a young woman to take over the control of the regime as a whole is very, very difficult would be very, very difficult to imagine, just because this is such an anachronistic system where women across North Korea have no status whatsoever. I mean, even in South Korea, they've had one female leader to date. So I think that's a hard sell for North Korea in particular.
It does seem like Kim Jong-un has sort of come in from the cold a little in 2026. What do you think's going on?
So a few weeks ago, we saw the foreign minister of Singapore visit Pyongyang. Not clear why. He met with a lot of top leaders and posted this extraordinary video afterwards of the Pyongyang skyline and showing how good the capital city was looking, all these high rises and the kind of development that many people would like to imagine there. So that happened, which was a bit strange. And then we saw Xi Jinping just visit Beijing, which is very unusual. He hasn't been since 2019, but notably, everybody's been going to Beijing this year to see Xi Jinping. He's made his first trip of the year, and it has been to Pyongyang. So it does seem a little bit odd. And in this kind of vacuum of information, it's really easy for conspiracy theories to flourish. I mean, the usual one is that Kim Jong-un is sick, but we have at least seen him this time. So it's hard to know what to make of it. But I think the bigger picture here reflects the increased standing of Kim Jong-un in this kind of axis, in that he has become very relevant and helpful to his allies in a way that North Korea hadn't been before. And by that I mean, you know, that North Korea has been supporting Russia in its invasion of Ukraine. It has sent a lot of munitions, which Russia badly needs, but also thousands and thousands of troops, which Russia also needs. It's going through both very quickly. So that Kim Jong-un has provided real tangible support for this war effort, and Putin has been feting him, you know, making a big deal, talking about how strong relations are. So I think that Kim Jong-un has seen his status rise and with the relationship with Russia. But at the same time, Chinese leader Xi Jinping doesn't want them to get too close, because he wants to be able to remind the North Korean leader that China is their benefactor, their patron, and they have to remain loyal to China rather than to Russia.
Anna Fifield, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
You're welcome, Julian. Thanks for having me.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.